It's this. Okay. It's good to see all of you. This has been a wonderful meeting, and I fear that it might take a turn for the worse for a while, but it'll pick back up in about 20 minutes. I don't know how to express my appreciation and admiration of this church and this association for the way it's been conducted, not only this year, but every time I've been here. All of the churches have done the same outstanding job of entertaining the association. It's totally non-political, and that can't be said for most of the ones I've been acquainted with during my less than illustrious career. But you're to be commended for this. And there is an association within an hour's drive of where I live going on this very weekend. And I thank God that I had the privilege to come this couple hour drive. One other thing, I hope I can say this with a surety that our traveling companions will agree, but due to the distance and due to the fact that you travel on an empty stomach better than a full stomach, we've always planned and always have left before eating anything, and I hope we do that again. If we do, I just bid you Godspeed now and thank you for your hospitality. I want to give you a suggestion for a good study. Go through your Bible and say, find out what God said and what man said. God said, man said. And notice the contrast. I'll give you one example before I read a text. Moses was chosen to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and promised the land of Canaan. And he said, when you go, I will be a pillar of fire at night, and I will be a pillar of cloud by day. Where the cloud goes, you go. When the pillar of fire goes, you go. When they stop, you stop. Simple instructions, wouldn't you say? Amen. Well, everything goes well till they get to the Red Sea. And then man says, what can we do now? God had said, wherever the pillar of cloud goes, you go. But here's some water in front of him, a little bit of water. It's called a Red Sea. But I'm absolutely convinced that pillar of cloud was in front of them, and all they had to do was step in the water, and they would hit dry ground. But he stopped, and man cried out, and God said, nevertheless, stretch forth thy rod and see the salvation of the Lord. So you go all the way through the Bible. God said, man said. God said, man said. And you'll see quite a contrast. It's a wonderful study. I enjoyed going through it. And I got a whole list just right here just going through Exodus. And it finally gets into Numbers and then Matthew. But it's a great contrast there. And man, I used up most of my time. If you want a title to what I hope to preach to you this morning, I call it The Work That God Gave Jesus to Do. Jesus came to save sinners. Now that we all know and that we all rejoice in, but there was a lot of other stuff going on. Job one, preach his own gospel and perform miracles. That was the first, that was job one. Matthew 4, 17 through 25. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, by the way, God said. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto Moses, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That wasn't a suggestion. God said. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. In all probability, none of us will be required to do such. In all probability, we won't have to give up our families to follow Christ. But God said for them to do it, and they immediately did it. And if that's said to us today, we are to do exactly the same thing. I wonder how many folks has gone through their life putting off and putting off and putting off being baptized for some various reasons when God said, repent and be baptized. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with the devil, and those which were lunatic, and those which were had the palsy, and he healed them all. Perform his job one, preach the gospel, his own gospel, and perform miracles. It was a tremendous transition going on from Judaism to Christianity. And it takes a lot of things to persuade humanity. And the God that God the Father gave God the Son this job to do. You go in the world and you stay as long as it takes and you perform miracles and you teach your own gospel. And you can go read Matthew chapter 5. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Great lessons being taught. I wish I had the time to go through and go through some of those things that he preached on that Sermon on the Mount. God said, tremendous sermon. You jot this down and you go back and you study again and again and again that Sermon on the Mount. Job 2. Remember, we're going through this great transition from Judaism to Christianity. Guess who the vast majority of his congregation was? Jews. You got an uphill battle here, Lord. You're going to need some other preachers. So you go out and you choose and some men. You can call them apostles. And then you teach them what they need to know that they'll teach others. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. This is Job 2. Verses 1 through 7, Matthew 10. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now this reading of these 10 commandments may raise more questions than answers. You may have, well, quit chasing rabbits. Yes, sir. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. If you got a highlighter, you need to highlight this. Job 2. Call, prepare, make your apostles preachers. Names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Peter, probably my favorite apostle. I can relate to him more. He had hoof and mouth disease. He was a common man's apostle. But 12 apostles, named of these, Simon, who is also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. We needed to get a publican in here to balance this out. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebrius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, the Lord put that, who also betrayed him, to let you know there are more than one Judas in the world. But this one that my second job is to make and teach apostles. And I am using a man that will betray me as an apostle. Now, if you want to question why that is, you're power to you. We've all got a theory. You do know that Jesus knew everything and knew that he was going to betray him, and yet he chose him as an apostle. That was his second job, and he did it his way. And if we decide we can improve on that, we need to get with the program. There's other. You can follow these apostles out, and he chose these 12, qualified these 12, and sent them out and gave them a job to do. And they went out doing the job that he gave them to do. Now, if you want to preach Judas in hell, go right ahead. Judas went to his own place, and that's all I care to know. Whatever it is, he preached the best gospel that's ever been preached. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because God, the Son of God, made him so. Luke chapter 10. I believe I'll skip that. Y'all read Luke chapter 10. Read Luke chapter 10, and that'll go along with this subject. Let's go to Job 3. Establishing his church. You would think. You would think that eventually a person would get to where that he's not shaking and trembling and getting cotton mouth when he's preaching to the best people in the world and knowing that they're praying for him and yet scared to death. Not much better than it was than the first time I ever made an effort. But Jesus' third job was to establish his church. And a church, according to the English language, is a congregation of people. You can complicate that with Greek and Hebrew if you want to. But according to the Oxford English Dictionary, that's a congregation of people. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, and this is Job 3. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias." Some say John the Baptist. Don't you wonder why they would say that? Well, you ask today, who is Jesus Christ? And you see the answers you get. Whom men say that I, Son of Man? Some said thou art John the Baptist, reincarnated. Some Elias, and others Jeremias, are one of the prophets. He saith unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" That was the question. And Simon Peter answered and said, even though he has hoof and mouth disease, and later on even denies him, and swears and curses and says, "I never knew him." He knew who he was here. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen, Peter. Amen. Great testimony. And Job 4. He came to do the Father's will. And these jobs are very condensed But these four jobs are distinct, separate, and yet all connected. But these are jobs that Jesus came to do above and beyond the saving us from hell. He did come to save sinners from hell. And he accomplished that. But these other four jobs was also jobs that the God the Father had gave the Son to do while he's alive on the earth. The fourth is prepare his apostles and evangelize the world. We need to be evangelizing more than we are.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16. And I will give unto them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Talking about these 12 people, these are going to be chosen. The keys of heaven, and whatsoever they bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He said, my fourth job, is to prepare these apostles to evangelize the world. And they're going to, whatever they do, I'm going to back it up. I will give the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you tell them don't do, it's recorded in heaven that they don't do it. Whatsoever you tell them to do, they are required from heaven to do it. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, if you want to take up the why you do this and why you do that, why he said this, power to you. Your imagination is as good as my imagination. But we have recorded many, many things in this book that he did, in fact, seal for us to do. And things that he did, indeed, that we should not do. And I had several other verses of scripture to go to. I'm going to fast forward to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I'll read the first 7 or 8 verses here. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, that means friend of God, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This was job 4. This we're getting, and now he's winding up getting the whole job done. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Sometimes we are to wait on the Lord. The vast majority of the time, we're to be moving forward in the Lord. Amen. Wait for the promise of your fathers, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's telling the people, you're going to have a mighty, mighty big experience coming your way. You're going to have Holy Spirit God come down on you like it has never been before and will only be a very few times after. And you know what happened on the day of Pentecost. This Peter with hoof and mouth disease is blessed to get up before 3,000 people and preach the gospel to them in great power and demonstration of the Spirit. And by the way, before that ever happened, and when they were on the day of Pentecost, they saw Jesus and he went up.
Yeah.
Somebody went up. Anyway, I've got to quit. 3,000 joined a church and were baptized. And somebody said that it would be impossible to baptize 3,000 people in a day. Elder Dolph Painter took that challenge. And he went after services one Sunday, went out in the yard, and he said it was at least 15. I believe it was 15 that could have been baptizing. Maybe it's 12. Whatever it was, whatever number that he knew was there, took them out there, and he broke it down into minutes. If you could do so many and so in a minute, then you could do that, how long it would take to do 3,000 people. And this was out the help of the water, helping you pick them back up. But he got some men, I believe it was 12, and he proved beyond a doubt that they could easily baptize 3,000 people in that length of time. Appreciate your good attention, and remember the Bible study. God said, man said. And remember, John 17, he said to his father, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. Jobs 1, 2, 3, 4 is complete. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And he hung down his head and gave up the ghost. He died in agony for you. He got the job done. I should say he got the jobs done. And he was buried, and they went back the next day, and lo and behold, the tomb was empty. If that didn't happen, you're going to be like Rover. You're going to be dead all over. You remember what Paul Revere said at the end of his famous ride?